Welcome to another episode of Follow the Brand. I am your host, Grant McGaugh, CEO of Five Star BDM, a five-star personal branding and business development company. I want to take you on a journey that takes another deep dive into the world of personal branding and business development using compelling personal story, business conversations, and tips to improve your personal brand. By listening to the Follow the Brand podcast series, you will be able to differentiate yourself from the competition and allow you to build trust with prospective clients and employers. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. Make it one that will set you apart, build trust, and reflect who you are. Developing your five-star personal brand is a great way to demonstrate your skills and knowledge. If you have any questions for me or my guests, please email me at grant.mcgaugh, spelled M-C-G-A-U-G-H, at 5-star BDM, B for brand, D for development, M for masters.com. Now let's begin with our next 5-star episode on Follow the Brand. Welcome to another exciting episode of Follow Brand Podcast. I'm your host, Grant McGaugh, CEO of 5-star BDM, where we help you to build a 5-star brand that people will follow. For all of our listeners who have been curious about the nexus between healthcare and technology, this episode promises to be a riveting deep dive. We're about to explore the intricate facets of the healthcare industry's technological metamorphosis. And who better to guide us than the industry titan? Fasten your seatbelts as we introduce you to the remarkable Mary Desmarais. She's the powerhouse chief technology officer of NCA's healthcare system. But Mary isn't just any CTO. Her journey is an enthralling tale of navigating risk, embracing the unknown, and harboring an intense passion for healthcare technology. Starting off with Meditech and eventually pioneering an enterprise project management office for a leading healthcare institution, her career trajectory is sheer inspiration. Today, Mary will shed light on the transformative sphere of healthcare technology, revealing the pivotal role IT teams now play in the daily operations of healthcare, the innovations of artificial intelligence and VR or virtual reality, the challenges of system integration, and the incredible power of technology in enhancing patient care. Mary will dwell into it all. Curious about what she looks for in potential vendors or her approach to fulfilling organizational objectives? You are in for a treat. But hold on, we are not stopping there. This conversation will also steer towards a vital aspect often overlooked: the significance of technology and disaster preparedness. Mary will take us back to the aftermath of Hurricane Ian and its profound impact on the NCH healthcare system and its population in Naples. Prepare to be moved by tales of IT teams rising as unsung heroes, safeguarding patients and staff during such dire times. And as a cherry on top, we'll touch upon how technology is revolutionizing the way our senior population manages their health and access care. Get ready for a discourse that seamlessly bridges technology with healthcare. So let's dive in with Mary Desmarais. This is the Follow Brand Podcast, where we are building a 5-star brand that you can follow. Okay, everybody. You know, I love living in South Florida, and every now and then I actually get to speak to someone who grew up in South Florida. And we're going to talk to Mary. Mary just told me that she grew up in Naples. Anybody listening in, ever been to Naples, it is such a, first of all, it's very pretty. It's very picturesque. I've been living down in South Florida maybe 25 years. The thing I always learned about Naples when I go over there, I can actually see dolphins swimming in the shallows. They jump up and you get this whole porpoise feeling. You get this flipper mold going on. You're like, yeah, that's Florida. This is wonderful. This is different. You don't really see that on the Atlantic side, but you definitely see it over in the Gulf. We're going to have a good conversation with Mary, who has done a great job in the technology field. And she's going to talk to us as the CTO of Naples Community Hospital. We're going to do a 30 for 30. I like the 30 for 30 analogy. We're going to talk about her trajectory, how she got into this business and what's driving her. So, Mary, you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, so thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. So I am Mary Barris, and I'm the Chief Technology Officer for NCH Healthcare System. And my road to get here is probably a little bit unique, a little bit different than most CTOs that you'll meet, and that's okay. That's a good thing in my mind. So when I graduated from college, my family had a rule, and their rule was either you have to have a job or you have to move home. And I was determined not to move home. And so I was offered one job. That was it. That was the only job offer I got. And it was to work at Meditech, which was a software company, or it's electronic health record for those of you who are familiar with it. And I was hired to travel around the US and Canada implementing their physician care suite of products. And I remember talking and kind of saying, I know nothing about computers. I know nothing about software. I that was not what my degree was in, but it was the job that I got. And so I was determined to take it and make it work. And I'm so thankful that I did, because it helped me find my passion. I always knew I wanted to work in healthcare, and this was my window into healthcare. It was my foot in the door into healthcare. And I'm so thankful for it, because I love every day of my career, and it's all credited to me taking this job. And so while I was there, I was traveling around to different hospitals and health systems, and I would be sitting in these rooms full of incredibly smart people at the healthcare system level, and they had so much more knowledge than I did, right? And so I started to ask questions. I started to say, you know, how did you get to your role? What did you do to become a COO? What did you do to become a CIO? What did you do to become an applications person? Whatever. And so there were a couple things. One is I just needed to get more experience. And so as a recent graduate, you know, you try to find what's the way to get exposed to experience. And so one of the ways that I took a next jump was to become a consultant. So I joined a consulting firm where they were a healthcare specific consulting firm, but they had an IT practice. And so that's where I went into. And while I was there, I loved it because I got exposed to a ton of different things. So we did big EHR deployments. We did IT staffing analysis. We did contract negotiations, vendor selections, interim management, project management, program management, all sorts of different things. So it was an opportunity to learn different stuff in the field, which was awesome. And I probably would have stayed there forever because I was getting so much experience and exposure to different things and traveling all over the place. And it was amazing. And then I just wanted to get off the road. That was my only excuse. Is I had hit my travel limit, and that's okay. When you hit that limit, that's all right. And so I took a step back and I took a job on the provider side. So I hadn't worked on the provider side yet in healthcare. So I took a job with Shriners Hospitals for Children, which is a pediatric specialty healthcare system with 22 hospitals across the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. And I worked in their Massachusetts-based hospitals at a Burns and an orthopedic-specific hospital. And I oversaw their IT department, their regional IT department. And so that once I was on the provider side, I said, oh, I love this. This is so much fun. I get to build relationships stronger. And I get to see the care that our healthcare facility really gives and how IT plays a role in that. So I knew that that was kind of the place for me to stay. And it is such an amazing organization with an amazing mission. And the only reason I left is because the one electronic health record vendor that I didn't get experience in through my career was Epic. And that was kind of becoming the big thing at the time. And so I was offered a job at another healthcare system in Massachusetts being their Epic project director. And so that was kind of the role there. And when we started to complete that project, I started to say to my boss, so what's next? Because once this is over, what do you want me to do? Right? Like there, obviously there's lots to do from an Epic perspective, but the project is over and that's kind of my role. So the organization said, well, IT does a really nice job in successfully completing projects. So can we do that on a little bit of a bigger scale, like organizational wide? And so that's where we established an enterprise project management office for the entire organization, kind of outside of IT, any initiative going on, how do we manage that idea, demand, project phase process? So that's where I took over for that role. And now for my role here, the only reason I left my last organization is because I had to relocate to Florida. And so I came back home to where I'm originally from, and which is amazing. And the health system that I grew up in, that my mom worked at, they were embarking on their Epic journey. And so I was hired into a new role here that they had, which was the chief technology officer. And so my scope of responsibility here is all on the tech side predominantly, but we play such an integral role with our application colleagues and with our Epic colleagues. So that's where I joined the organization here. So it's kind of a long-winded story of the progression of my career, but big thing is everybody's career path looks different, and that's a good thing because that gives us different viewpoints and experiences, and that's what makes a solid team is that diversity. So.
I could not agree. I love your story. And I love how you go from the sunny beach, white sands of Naples to the rugged world of New England. Yes. And, I lived in New England for approximately 10 years. And it's really pretty. I always love the fall weather. I mean, if anyone's ever been up there and you see the fall foliage, it really is really very, very beautiful. So obviously you must have had reasons why you needed to transition back to Florida, which is a very good reason. I want to talk to you about if someone else is now married. Somebody else is married. Mary is, you know, you graduated, you've gotten your degree, possibly even a master's degree, maybe in health informatics or something like that. Would you advise them to go the track that you went on into consulting? Or would you advise them to go directly to the provider world? How would they get the experience that is much needed?
Yeah, so a big piece of advice I always give people is say yes. So there's so much out there today where it's like learn how to say no and turn things down. And, you know, and there's so much out there article-wise about the power of no and things like that. I have this opposite approach where, because I have said yes in my career and it has opened up doors for me. So my advice would be find a role that you think sounds interesting, and take that role, assuming you get it right. And it can be any role. I wouldn't persuade somebody to go consulting, vendor, provider side, whatever. Find something that sounds interesting to you, because that's going to start to get you experience. And then when you're in that role, more likely than not, at some point, somebody in that role is going to come to you and say, hey, we want to give you this other responsibility, or we want you to take on this project, or we want you to try this thing or get trained in ba-dum-ba-dump, whatever. That's my technical term. And so my advice would be say yes, even if it's outside of your scope of responsibility, it's outside of your comfort zone, maybe what you expected, what you didn't, because it's going to get you more experience. It's going to get you a different exposure. And so trying to get that viewpoint and determine what you like and what you don't like is important. Because the best case scenario, you end up loving it and finding your passion and takes you off in that direction. The worst case scenario is you find out you hate it, but that you know that, right? It's narrowed down your search for your next role, or it helps you define what you want to get a master's degree in or what certification you want next, whatever. So in my mind, my best piece of advice for people is to say yes. And don't pigeonhole yourself just because you have this view of, well, this my job is in this lane and I've got to stay in this lane. It's like, well, you know, if you don't step outside of the lane sometimes, You won't necessarily know if you like it or not. So try it. And then if you end up being really successful in it, great news. And if you end up hating it, that's great news too, because then you don't have to go down that path.
That is good. No, I mean, that's wisdom speaking there. Especially when you're young, you have some wiggle room. Find some things up, because book knowledge is not real world knowledge, a real world experience. And I've heard a lot of people talk about, even when you graduate, you don't, you know, unless you work with an epic deployment, you really don't know what that is really like. And you need to get a hold of that experience as much as possible if you're going to go down that particular track.
Yep.
Here's the question that I got from others in the field, meaning in, you know, health IT, like, wow, but Mary, I'm a woman. This is a field that's predominantly male dominated, and to a great degree. How do you survive in that world where maybe you don't have the credibility, you don't have all the things that are necessary to command a CTO role later in life? Is what have you leveraged that has helped you? And I want you to talk to the people that, you know, that are women, they're trying to get into health IT. Maybe they've got some experience, but how do they get into that true IT stack?
Yeah, so this isn't the first time I've been asked this question, and I don't know that I respond in the way people expect me to or maybe want me to. I don't know. So I don't look at myself as any different or anything. I don't think I handled myself any differently than I would have, I think, if I was a man. I don't know. I don't really look at myself any different than my fellow colleagues. And I don't expect to be treated any differently. And I pretty much make that very clear in my interactions with folks. And so, you know, I think it's really, and for me, when I look for folks to hire onto the team, I look for, are you going to be a good fit for the team? To me, I'm not looking for to fill a specific quota of like, well, I want this many men, this many females, whatever. That's not something I even look at. I look at purely, do you have the motivation? Are you hungry? Do you want to learn it? And so, you know, do you want to find your passion? Are you passionate? Are you happy? Because those are the things that matter to me when I hire folks. And I think that comes across too, when you're interviewing and when you're getting to know folks and networking. And so I would say, you know, to any females who are trying to break into the IT industry, do it. Absolutely. The opportunity is there. It's not any different, I don't think, than what I would recommend to my male colleagues and counterparts. And so I would just say, if it's something that you really love and you want to do it, for sure, 100%. And there's going to be a ton of women, and there are a ton of women in healthcare IT that are supportive of anybody coming up that wants to get into that, the tech space in general.
This episode is brought to you by Five Star BDM. Five Star BDM is a professional consulting and advisory group keenly focused on business development services for small to mid-sized businesses and entrepreneurs. Although every business is unique, they often share challenges that can be addressed through smart branding. Services include process improvement and operations, digital strategy and transformation, business intelligence, digital marketing, and personal branding. Our five-star business and personal branding company has helped a number of professionals and organizations to optimize and grow. The result is more business, more opportunities, better reach, positive outcomes. Please visit www.fivestarbdm.com to learn more and view all the episodes of Follow the Brand. I like that. I don't want people to be intimidated or afraid. So what we find is that they're just not going into, they're not choosing that as curriculum, not choosing it as a goal. We've got STEM programs, we've got some other things, but they're like, no, I'm going another route because I don't see that as a way path forward. So we need to take some of that, demystify some of this.
Yes.
No, this is an open playing field. And we just want to look at skill set. We want to look at the mindset. You have the capability, but do you have the the appetite for doing that. You know, because I see a lot of women like they're in finance. Well, that's a lot of numbers. Well, guess what? IT's a lot of data. It's a lot of numbers. You know, so,
that's right.
You know,
that's right.
So we want to encourage people to not, you know, don't look away from this. Is a great opportunity. Health IT is exploding. Mm-hmm. We need people that have all kinds of different perspectives to be able to help us. Because we've got this gray tsunami that's right here, right now. We've got a lot of older people, and we look to the younger people to help the older people. You know, in all this. So help us understand. Now you've been in this business for a while. How do you see it changing, morphing, even as your role as a CTO? Because there's CTO, there's CIO, CDOs with chief digital officer. All this is starting to morph and change. How do you see this industry changing over the next 1 to 2 years?
I think that's what's exciting is it's not, and to me, we're always changing. Like if you were to ask me, you know, 10 years ago, oh, what do you want to be? Like, what is your ultimate goal? I would have said, I want to be a CIO, right? But now the role of the CIO is changing. It's not, and the title of CIO is morphing and change, like CDO and even like a lot of CIOs or that is going away to the medical side, so the CMIO. And so that our whole world is completely changing from a title or just overall responsibilities standpoint, which is great because we've proven on the IT side how invaluable we can be on the operations side and things like that. So I think that our world will continue to change from a title perspective. To me, what's so exciting is how fast we innovate on the IT side. And for me, I'm always passionate or excited about the things I can't even see or understand yet. So when I first started in this industry, the thought of like on the application side, the thought of natural language processing, right? It was not even really like it was a thought, but like it was so far-fetched and we were kind of like, that's never going to happen type of thing. And now it's like a commonplace utilization in many factors. And so, and I think one thing that's, it's so important as we look to the future is I can't wait to see the things that I'm not even aware of yet, right? I can't wait to see how we advance AI. I can't wait to see what we do in the VR space, even in healthcare and specifically on the provider side. It's not really a thing the VR piece is not really a thing we do tremendously today, but it will be. I guarantee it at some point, right? And in some capacity, I just don't know the what behind it. And so, I'm using applications or like big buzzwords that people understand. But the same is true on the true like back end or, true technical side. It's the same concepts of the technology that we're going to see and utilize that we're not even considering at this point that I'm excited to see what happens.
I'm excited with you. I've seen a lot of different things. We're both involved with HIMSS. This goes to HIMSS conference. You do see a lot of these things that are kind of challenges today, like interoperability. That means how do these systems talk to one another? Because you've got health records and right now they're in silos. So there's got to be some kind of unification around that, which will, you know, it'll be an explosive leap in delivery of care. And once you've got all the information, you've got all the data, you can make different choices, make different decisions. What is that going to look like? And right now in the world, I tell people all the time, technology is very, very, very good at, for me, two things. They're very, very good at two things. Meaning it can, in the area of speed, it can do things quicker, faster, better. It's very, very good with that. And also communication models, communication modalities. If you need to communicate better, you need to do things faster, then start looking at technology as a way to enable that to happen. And as we both know, in population health scenarios now, our population is changing. So we've got more people that are older. We've got more people that have certain they're maybe in certain disease state, the quicker we can get to that. And then our motto is changing from fee to service for value-based care. So that changes the way that we deliver and what we're looking for. So I think technology can be good in the area. Would you agree with that?
100%. Yes. 1000%. For sure. So
I'm going to switch the conversation just a little bit.
Sure.
Because here, all my sales guys, your sales people, you know, the vendors, and they're always like, yes, I need to get an appointment with Mary. How do I get an appointment with Mary? Got to talk to Mary. And I know Mary's going to like, I only have so much time. What are you looking for? Or what are your challenges? What are your pet peeves? When you're getting asked to take up time with a potential vendor of sorts, what exactly do you need from them? And what are the things you tell them, hey, make sure you don't do this?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And I wish this could be broadcasted to everybody. So a big thing is we on the IT side are responsible for delivering the strategic goals of the organization, right? We do not exist on the IT side without the business. And so our work is all about what is in best support of our operations. And at least on the healthcare side and specifically, it's all about the patient. That is our number one goal. We want to make sure we're providing high quality care to the patient with good outcomes and patient satisfaction. That is, even from an IT standpoint, my team knows this. I talk about it all the time. And so from my perspective, even on the true tech side, when the business comes to us and says, this is what we're trying to accomplish, it's our responsibility to partner with them and come to the table with them to brainstorm what those ideas are and then help execute whatever is decided upon. And so I, as a leader, know what we need from a technology standpoint. Or I know which vendors will help me research what's new on the market and what could potentially be out there, right? And so my thing is I will come to vendors when I need them 100%. Not to say that people can't reach out, of course, but in any given moment to cold call somebody in this day and age is really tough because I do not have time. And especially if I don't know the person, I don't know the technology and I don't have a use case for it, it's really hard to sell me on that. Because a big piece is I'm trying to do the best thing for the business. I'm trying to meet their needs. And yes, there is all this behind the scenes stuff that nobody understands and talks about from a computing standpoint, networking standpoint, cloud standpoint, everything you can think of infrastructure wise. But we have experts on our side who are more in tune with what's going on in the market and what technology, it could be the latest and greatest that we need to explore. And so when we have the capacity and the bandwidth and the opportunity to do so, we will do so. And we will reach out to our partners and say, hey, we're interested in looking at ba-dum-ba-dum, X, Y, and Z, whatever it is. And so my big thing is once we do reach out, be available, because there's a reason why we're reaching out is we're probably ready to do something. It might take a little bit of time. Healthcare is not known for their speed, but it might take a little bit of time. But I would say cold calling, cold emailing, whatever we want to call it, cold LinkedIn messaging, is really, really tough. And for those of you who are doing it, good luck to you. Don't be offended when I don't respond. And I'm sure other healthcare IT leaders are saying the same thing.
Oh, I can't agree more. I always pride myself. You have to be valuable. People mm-hmm. do need to know who you are outside of just the direct messaging, right? So that when, like you just stated, when you do have an app, you do have some kind of project, you know what? We got to reach out to so-and-so because they're very, very good in this area. Then you've got your go-to partners who can go out, find research for you, or get some internal resources. Okay. And you get called in. I think that is the number one shift, even in my business and business development, that I have seen happen, because there's email, there's so many hurdles you have to get through to even get a clean email to a person delivered. Yeah. because there's so much different spam messages, things like that. Who answers their phone, their business phone? You're like, I can already tell you, probably like, I already know who it is. It's 10 salespeople. Like, oh my gosh, he's actually picked up the phone. I don't even know what to say. There's got to be something. However, when you can reach out in the way you just stated, and I think that's so important for my audience to truly understand that you've got to do some proactive ways of getting your message out there, whether it's going to be through social media, it's going to be through industry publications, so that when you do go to a trade show like a HIMSS, you know that, yeah, I know these people. Let me go and talk to them because we do have something coming up, because you're talking to the business all the time and there's something that the business needs. Either you're familiar. This one thing I loved about your history, you've done all this stuff. You're like, let me talk to you about IT staffing. Oh, yeah, I did that 5 years ago. Let me talk. So I want to talk to you a little bit more because you are very interesting. And I'm going to say it like this because you're here for a purpose. You're starting to see how our population is changing, that we do have to take care of our elderly who are still here. We've got to take care of the population that's underneath us, these, I don't know what they call them, the Gen X, the Gen Zs, the Millennials, the Gen Ys, all of these generations, and they all adopt technology and things differently. Talk to us about how you've seen technology as an enablement to help them to be healthier and to make better choices from your lens.
Yeah, absolutely. So the greatest thing that we have is technology from a patient care perspective. And there's, in my mind, at least right now, and seeing as I have what I call actively aging parents, hi, mom and dad, if you're out there watching. I think one of there's two pieces where technology really is unbelievable resource. One is access to real-time data, and that helps from a patient decision-making standpoint. You're able to have intelligent conversations with your care team. You're able to participate at a level that we used to not be able to because we just didn't have the visibility as a patient. And so I think that's one. And the second is from a pure collaboration standpoint. So we are able to do telehealth visits for aging parents who live far away. You can participate in their physician appointments by technology instead of somebody dialing you on speakerphone in the office. You know, there's a full-blown virtual experience, if you will, of like I'm sitting in the room with an elderly grandparent or parent. Or aunt, uncle, whatever. And I think that is incredibly valuable. And so I think all of those virtual health capabilities of getting real-time data in the patient's hands and being able to participate as a third-party caregiver, if you will, are really right now where we see the biggest benefit from a tech perspective in patient care, especially for our aging population.
That is great. Hopefully we're going to see a lot of this in Naples. Is that what you got going on?
Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%.
One last question. This happened, I think it was last year, hurricane season, right? Mm-hmm. You had to get ready. You had to get ready quickly. And I'm not sure, you might've been on leave at the time, but you saw what had to happen when the hurricane came, and it wasn't just on television. It was in your front door. Mm-hmm. And it impacted, you know, that area from Naples all the way to Fort Myers and then some.
Yep.
Talk to us about what really happens when you get to first hurricane preparedness, but disaster recovery and business continuity and how you had to pick the community up to be able to move forward.
Yeah, so I worked for NCH Healthcare System at the time where Hurricane Ian hit us directly and us in the Fort Myers area. So in healthcare IT, we are driven by disaster recovery, right? Like we plan for it our whole careers. Like that's the first thing you learn about when you come into an IT organization is what's the disaster recovery plan? And typically, once you've been in the industry for some time, you are used to working through disasters, right? Or major outages. So think of it that way, right? So there's a big, let's say, snowstorm in New England, and it drops all the power and it, you know, to your data center, and there's no redundancy, whatever the case may be. And so what do you do about it? And there's all sorts of things, right? So I worked for an organization once where a squirrel chewed a particular line and it dropped, you know, so there's like a million different things that could happen when you think about a disaster. And in healthcare, we work through them, right? Like we have plans, we go to the plans, we execute the plans, and we do the best that we can. And it's more so, at least in my mind, about how we do a lot of the recovery pieces after the fact, because you're in the moment, it's just get everything up or get as much as we can up, and then we'll worry about it on the back end. For this, I will say, in all of my career, this was the most intense thing I had ever been in my career. And not only from a technology standpoint, but from a pure patient care standpoint. So us in Southwest Florida, we're used to hurricanes, right? We get hit by them almost every year. But a direct hit at that category, at that level, is significant. And so it was more about how do we as an organization protect our patients, our families, and our staff, and less about what do we do from a technology standpoint. We are very lucky in that our technology was reliable and it was stable throughout the entire health system. And that's because of the hard work of the IT teams who helped design our systems in general and how we have our data center set up. So I'll say that a huge kudos to our amazing engineers and architects who helped make that become a reality. And there were certainly times during the hurricane where certain things were starting to fail from a technology standpoint. And we had both individuals physically on site as well as remotely in other parts of the country helping support us, including many of our vendors. So big kudos to the vendors who dropped what they were in the middle of the night even to help us move things and support the organization. So it's certainly, you know, after the fact, looking back, it opened up or uncovered a lot of documentation gaps that we had and what we needed to true up for next hurricane season, if you will, or next disaster in general. So, and I think any experience, if somebody tells you it was perfect, they're lying. So I think, you know, it definitely uncovered some things that we needed to make better for us as an organization. But the thing I'll say is, even the IT folks who were on site or who were what we call the second shift coming in, the team B coming in after recovery, we were all there for the patient and their families. So it was predominantly about, and there were parts of our organization that were starting to flood. And so how do we, as an organization, help support, get patients to safe places, get staff to safe places? And so the IT team is right there at the table helping support what's needed. And that's the biggest piece that I would say is when you come into IT, you think, okay, I'm going to sit at a computer all day, you know, in my private room or my cubicle or in my basement, whatever the case may be. It's not necessarily that way on the healthcare IT side. You never know what you could be doing in that moment, whether it's dropping a sandbag in front of a door or helping transport patients to a different location. You do what you got to do. And to all the Southwest Florida hospitals and healthcare systems, I think we did a great job banding together, even if we weren't part of the same system, to help each other and make sure that patient care was the forefront.
Man, that's beautiful. It wasn't. You know, when you get challenged like that, you don't know what you have within you until you've got to do it.
Yep.
Like you just said, yeah, you know, I was trained to work on compute systems and servers, and here I am putting sandbags out here. But, you know, you don't even question that in the moment. In the time, if that's going to save lives, that's going to help somebody, it's going to help people. But you said, hey, the wind and rain comes, but then after that, there's flooding, there's power outage. This is not a hourly event. This is something that takes place over weeks, sometimes months. People have lost their homes.
Right.
People have lost their businesses. You know, this is not a great thing. But when you could look back and say, wow, we got through some of that, man. That's like, wow, you know, it just makes you appreciative of a lot of different things. So I really appreciate you coming on to the show today. This has been, this has been wonderful. I know your mom, your dad are very proud of you. Your husband's proud of you. Your newborn child. She's like, yeah, there's my mom. This is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So before I leave you, let the audience know, what is the best way to contact you?
Absolutely. So LinkedIn is a great way. I am pretty active. Grant knows I just got back from maternity leave, so I'm a little backed up, but I'm usually very active and I'm pretty responsive. And so I'm looking forward to getting to know folks.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, she's also a big part of Hams. We had her on at Integrate last year. And we love to have her perspectives on what she's doing there from the NCH world, from the Epic world, just understanding how tech is taking on these new bends and being able to be a teacher and a person of wisdom. I really appreciate you. And I want to let your audience know they can contact me at 5-Star BDM. That is 5-Star B, like, excuse me, brand, Eli Development, EliteMasters.com. You see all the different episodes that we have there. And we want everyone to tune in weekly to get this kind of wisdom, this kind of knowledge, this kind of experience moving forward. So thank you very much for being on the show.
Yes, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome.